Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles. It's Monique Leray. This is The Startup with Monique Leray on LA Talk Radio. Happy Sunday. I hope you're having a beautiful day. And, you know, the show is really, really taking another turn, an exciting turn today. Exciting because it's right on time for the things that we are living through and the subjects and issues that are important to society, I believe. And as an entrepreneur, you know, we have to, you know, pay attention to what the citizens are speaking up against and for. You know, we want to provide services, jobs, and safe environments for people as entrepreneurs and business owners. So I think in the beginning of my show, and can you guys believe it? It'll be 1 year, September 15th. We're going to do a special 1 year anniversary show. I'll keep you posted on that. But I wanted to remind you that when I first started this show, I had no idea what I was doing. I still kind of don't, but that's what makes it fun. But as most of you know, I'm a TV producer over 20 years. And a lot of the shows that I've worked on were dating shows and courtroom shows and game shows. And they were lighthearted and fun. Now I'm making a horizontal move and doing docu-follows and short documentary films. The first project that we're working on is Justice for Jackie, and that's the story of a Native American woman out of Tacoma, Washington. And her family, the citizens of Tacoma, and the Puyallup tribe of Indians actually passed 940 two Novembers ago. It'll be almost two Novembers ago. And that's the first law in the U.S. to demand de-escalation from our servicemen and women in the police departments in that area. And they're looking to get that to be uniform around the U.S. And, oh, something's rubbing against my mic. Okay, there we go. Let's see if that's better. Anyway, we're now going to discuss another project that I'm involved in, and it's Justice for Andre and Bryson. And before I get into that, we have a special guest with us from that project. I want to give you guys a quick update on the pandemic documentary. My producing partner, Gentry Stanley, and I have been traveling around the U.S. We have been going to different cities and interviewing first responders, doctors, and nurses, and everyday people that are responding to the COVID-19 outbreak here in the U.S. And we're, you know, excited to bring you an update on that. The update is we're going to be in the Pacific Northwest beginning next week. So Hollywood, California on the 30th and 31st of July, and then we'll be in Seattle, Washington from the 5th to the 8th, and then Portland, Oregon from the 8th to the 10th. We'll continue through and go to Las Vegas, perhaps Honolulu, perhaps Anchorage, Alaska. We'll also do St. Louis, Nashville, Tennessee, New York, Manhattan, Miami, Florida, and San Juan, Puerto Rico. So we're trying to get a whole view. We've already done Texas, Birmingham, Chicago, Atlanta. Thank you. Shout out to everyone that's been hospitable to us and kept us safe. Shout out to American Airlines. They're doing a really great job making sure people mask up. If you don't mask up, you don't fly with them in the future, which I think is a really good message. And I think should become uniform for big companies like that. Let's get this thing done. Mask up so we can move on, you guys. With that all being said, I want to introduce to you the stars of future documentary, Justice for Andre and Bryson. How's it going, everybody? Hello.
You had to unmute. Sorry about that.
That's okay. How's it going, everybody? Good to see you.
Going good. It's going good.
So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to the viewers and the listeners so they know who you are?
Well, I'm Andre Thompson, and this is my niece, Sophia Chaplin.
And I'm Crystal Chaplin. I'm Andre's mom. I'm Bryson Chaplin's mom also. Bryson can't be here with us today, but Andre's here with us.
to talk. Okay, good. And we're sending Bryson, you know, a lot of love. And I can't wait to see him when I come back up, and all of you. And thank you for taking time out on this Sunday to speak about the project and, you know, what you guys have been doing. Yeah. So why don't we start from the beginning? Crystal, why don't we start with you? And let's just, you know, tell us who you are and like where you come from and, you know, set the stage for your life before this event happened about 5 years ago.
Okay. Well, again, my name is Crystal Chaplin. I'm originally from Woonsocket, Rhode Island. That's on the East Coast. It's a little town in Woonsocket. That's where Andre and Bryson were both born. We moved out here to Washington State following their father. He worked in construction, and he went back to the East Coast, and we stayed. After he left, we moved into Olympia, Washington, and that's when everything happened with Andre and Bryson.
So, you know, when people look on the map, they're, you know, and they choose where they're going next, I mean, what made you want to just go clear across the other side? What was the driving force for Olympia, Washington as a choice?
Well, their father was doing some work in construction, so he had some work out here to do and stuff. But we've traveled from Key West, Florida, to California, to Washington State, to New Hampshire. We've been all over just working at his father working in construction and stuff. So we just kind of followed along with him.
Yeah. That's kind of cool, though. You have memories of different spots. And how long would you stay? Like, would you stay a year, or how would it go?
Well, we stayed in Key West for about 5 years and built up some property out there for, I think it was called Duck Key, right? Yeah. Golf course. And so it was a bunch of houses built there. So we had our own business there, our own construction business there. And then their father got offered a job out here in Washington State and moved out this way.
Nice. So you were excited to, you know, pack it up and come out west, go west, as they say.
Yeah.
Well, basically, where my father, he was all like, wherever the money went, that's where he was going. So,
I mean, it's a good logic to have. You gotta pay those bills. So that's good. So, when you first moved to Olympia, Washington, what did you love about the area? What did you find kind of refreshing or cool about your new home?
Well, at first we lived in a different part of Olympia. We lived like out on Caroline Beach off of Steamboat Island, which is like an inlet. So we didn't know anything about downtown Olympia or the city of Olympia because we were out secluded out there and on the water. And then we decided to move to more in town, where we're closer to the city and closer to the stores and this and that. And being out here in Washington, as you see, Monique, it's beautiful out here.
You know,
it's a beautiful state. So that's what captured my eye was the beautiful state out here, the water, the whales, and all of that.
Yeah, you have to have a nice Patagonia. Or off-brand Patagonia, but you gotta have one of those jackets. And, you know, yeah, it's fresh air. I mean, you can go fishing and whale washing, and I don't know. It's good air out there.
Yeah, we didn't have a care in the world. You know, we didn't bother people or anything. We were just a family just together, my sons and my daughter, her kids. And, you know, we were just this tight-knit family that we just stayed together, you know, and then this just happened.
And so, Andre, you know, how was your life before this event? I mean, your circle of friends and like your everyday, what was the tempo of your everyday? Give us, you know, paint a picture for us.
Well, as my mom said, we were in Steamboat Island, a little bit secluded area. So I didn't have that much friends around.
Yeah.
Because where we moved. Well, we just moved there, so.
You had skateboard friends.
Yeah, we had skateboard friends. That's what my niece.
She's so sweet. How old are you?
I'm 11.
Gorgeous. That's a good age. That's a fun age. don't grow up too fast, right? Enjoy it. So yeah. it sounds like you guys were just living your life, and like you said, there wasn't a lot of people around, but you're just minding yours and doing your thing. So let's speak about, you know, why you're here, and it's justice for Andre and Bryson. And when we say that, and people who aren't familiar with your story, and you know, one of the reasons why I'm doing a documentary film on this event in your lives, it's just so unbelievable. I visited the site where you were running through the forest, and I have to tell you, I wouldn't run through that thing even in the daytime. I mean, you could hit a tree. And, yeah. You know, it's go ahead.
We were hitting trees at the same time walking. Well, it was running through the dark. It was just dark woods, you know. So we were basically guessing on, like, making sure, like, hands in front of us, and then just running through the woods just to see, like, if there was, like, a little bit of light so we could follow. That was basically it.
And we're going to get to that whole thing because, you know, and I remember, Crystal, when we were on the scene, you mentioned you were staging the area as we were walking through. And I gathered that you were picking up some energy from there because I know that you're a tuned in person. And you said you mentioned something about hopefully this, you know, there was a light that guided them, or you mentioned something like that. It's in the footage that we have. Yeah. You remember saying that?
I remember that. Yes.
So why don't we start from the beginning on that day? It was a birthday. You guys, I've seen the pictures, you know, from the grocery store. You had a skateboard in your arms. You're going to the grocery store. Set the scene for us on the birthday and what you and Bryson were doing that day.
Well, I think it was the day after, or a little bit, a week after Bryson's 21st birthday. But, basically we were bored in the house. We didn't want, we didn't have anything else to do besides just go skateboard. So we went down to Nogger Skate Park, which is right next to Safeway on Cooper Crest or Cooper Point Road. But we were skating for a while until it turned nighttime. Everybody was leaving. And my little brother, me and Bryson, we decided we were going to go home too as well. But as we went into Safeway, I went to the bathroom. My little brother decided he was going to, you know, try to attempt to steal some beer. So
that's okay. Before you get into that, how old were you at the time? And then how old did he just turn at the time?
I was 24 and he was 21 at that time.
So, you know, if we all can remember turning 21, you're excited to be able to drink, and you're never going to forget that legal time that you're able to drink, you know? So he's excited about that. So go ahead.
Yeah, he was very excited. I mean, we just had a good night skateboarding too. So we were on our way home. So after I got out the bathroom first, or I went to the bathroom, got out the bathroom, my little brother, I didn't see him outside at all, but the store clerk saw him with a case of beer and attempted to stop him. So he threw the beer down on the ground. And then we ended up running back towards home.
So you saw that there was a scuffle, if you will, and everything just said, okay, it's time to run. Like, you basically followed him out.
I was already outside. They had a scuffle, and then, or he threw the beer down, and the store clerk was yelling at him and stuff, and then she called the cops saying that she was assaulted, but she wasn't assaulted with the beer.
Got it. So you guys run. You're running outside, and then what happens after that?
Yeah, we were just running towards home on that dark road, and then police were called, and then the police officer pulled up in front of us, basically But it was like way up a road, way up above on the road.
But yeah, so maybe what, like a mile down or?
Like a mile down, a little bit. So we could just continue walking. We didn't even think that it was a cop at that time because there's no lights on at all. He was just parked right there. He just pulled up, parked. So we just kept on walking. And then we heard stop and stuff. So we just kept on running and then started shooting. So we ran into the woods and he kept on shooting some more. So,
wow.
Yeah, and then we kept on running, and then my little brother got out the woods first. Bryson got out the woods first. Then he got shot in the back. So I was yelling at the cop to stop or whatever, told him, what the hell are you doing? You know, all of that, cussing at him and stuff. Then, because it's so dark, you can't see anything.
Right.
All I saw was a flash and flashlight on my little brother. And he was running, got shot, and then fell. And so that's why I was yelling at the cop. Then after I got out the woods first, because I seen what happened, started yelling at the cop and whatever. Then so he started firing at me, and then I fell, and then everything. We went to the hospital and everything. That's what the road was blocked off and everything.
That's what kind of like a blur.
Yeah.
From there.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. I mean, and you know, I get like these events in your life where there's just high adrenaline and you don't know what it's going to be, but why didn't you? When he said stop, why do you think you didn't stop? What was your first feeling when he said stop?
My first feeling was because I didn't do anything, so why should I stop? But also, he didn't really announce himself at that point, so
and right.
Then, so just so, ran away, trying to get away from.
Right. Did it? Okay. So and then when you guys. So, you know, how far would you say the forest is? Because I've been to that site and I've been to the store, the grocery store. And, you know, that seems like, I mean, I ran hurdles, 100 meter hurdles. I mean, it seemed a lot longer than that. It seemed like forever.
Yeah.
How long would you say that forest run is?
Not even like. I don't even know, like 5 minutes of forest or something like that.
So maybe like a what do you think, Crystal? Like it's a mile, 2 miles?
I think it's about a football field wide. I would say that
a little bit over.
A little bit, yeah. A little bit over that. It's a long dock road. So
yeah. And you guys got out the end of it, so you were both hit, but you were able to get out of the forest and then wind up in the street or on the sidewalk, or where did you wind up?
Bryson wound up next to the bike lane, and then I ended up in the middle, kind of like, you know, two middle lanes of the street, one's separating the other one.
So yeah,
on the median. The oncoming traffic, so in that right there.
So what happened next? People stopped to help? What do you remember?
I don't remember nobody stopping for anything. All I remember is my cars driving by. And
afterwards, yeah. Monique, he doesn't remember who was driving by or anything, but my daughter was right. Driving by and seeing her brother get shot. She didn't know it was her brother at the time. She could see the officer with his gun out and his flashlight fixated on this person in a white t-shirt, and she seen him open fire three times. And she came home. Mom, where's my brothers? Is Andre and Bryson home? And I said, no, they're not home yet. She said, someone just got shot up the road. And
what are the chances of that? I mean, yeah, you live in the area, but that is, she probably had, you think she had a gut about it? She had a feeling about it?
I think she had a gut feeling about it because they hadn't come home yet. And so I was looking on, I was searching the internet and everything, listening for, you know, to see if any news came out and stuff. And then the next morning I got up to bring the grandkids to school and hear the detectives at the doors saying that they were shot and in critical condition. Both were shot in the chest.
Wow. And that's just the worst. Like, I can't even imagine what you were feeling at that time. I have a question about when you guys came out of the forest, where was the officer? He obviously stopped shooting at you. And I wonder why.
He stopped shooting because to wait until one of us was going to come out. So, which he did, he waited until one of us thought it was like clear because it's pitch dark out. So he waited, and then my little brother was the first, you know, to get shot, and then I was the second one because he didn't want basically no witnesses.
Wow.
Shot it, so.
And so Bryson was where were you hit, and then where was Bryson hit?
Well, first Bryson was hit in the back.
He was hit in the arm.
Yeah.
In his right elbow arm, it went straight through. And then he was shot in the neck. It went, grazed him.
All running.
All in the back. He got shot five times in the back. From the back.
I got shot in the abdomen. Straight on, though.
Straight on.
Yeah. His was when he was running away. That's why.
What did it feel like to be shot in the stomach?
Is not a good feeling at all. You can't breathe, and it just took all the wind out of me. I didn't even know what hit me until afterwards. I was on the ground.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And I bet, like, because, I mean, it's hard to compare it to something, I'm sure, but what would you say is the closest thing you could compare it to?
Like getting hit by a car or Mack truck or something. Yeah,
sure.
Lifted me off my feet. So,
wow.
Hurt my shoulder at the same time.
Yeah. So now you've done some investigating and you found out it was them and there's someone at your doorstep confirming that it's them. What do you do next, Crystal?
The next thing, me and my daughter and my grandkids, we got in the car because they told me that Bryson was at the hospital in Lacey. It's called St. Peter's Hospital. So I went there to see about Bryson. They wouldn't let me in to see him. They kept me from seeing him until I demanded to see him. They wanted more. They wanted to question my daughter more, and I told them no more questions. You know, let me see my son. They finally began to see him, and there was a police officer sitting there saying, oh, he's not under arrest. And I said, oh, okay, I didn't think so. Like, what happened? I still didn't know what happened. And then I asked where Andre was. No one seemed to know where he was. So it took a couple of hours before I could even find out where Andre was. And they had separated them from the hospital. He was in Tacoma General Hospital. And Bryson was being airlifted to Harborview at the time.
So they were separated because of Bryson's injuries being more severe? Or do you think that they were separated for other reasons?
I think they were separated for other reasons because they were questioning Andre while he was still a bullet is still inside him and he's bleeding out. And they questioned him for 3 hours before they even transferred him to Tacoma General Hospital.
So Andre, you're sitting there in the paramedic truck?
No,
wrapped up and questioned, or what does that seem like?
Hospital question, waiting to go to surgery, and that's when they were questioned. Well, an officer or a detective came in and questioned me.
Interesting. Were you offered any medication or any relief?
I was already on morphine and that.
Okay.
He was pretty drugged up.
Yeah.
And then they're questioning him. But it took 6 days for the officer to give his statement.
Right, right. How fast did you get a lawyer?
I think a couple of days later, because my brother Dennis, he came from Florida and flew here and to help me out and stuff. And he got me in touch with some attorney, which dropped us as soon as we were ready to go into court. So
you guys obviously are still here, and we're so glad that you have survived physically. I'm sure that mentally, emotionally, and everything else has been, I mean, how has that been? I mean, Bryson is in a wheelchair. In case you guys aren't familiar with this story, Andre is fully recovered, and Bryson has not. He is in a wheelchair, and he has not been able to walk, and he has not been able to run and skip and, you know, climb mountains and ride a bike or a skateboard since he was shot. So his mobility has been cut. Due to his injuries. So, you know, how has that affected both of you? And I know that it's affected you differently, obviously, because you're not in a wheelchair, he is. For you, Andre, how has it affected your life?
Well, it affected it pretty bad at first, you know, because my little brother is still in, when we found out that he was in the wheelchair, or couldn't walk, you know. It was really bad, really, really hard on him and hard on me because we were always close together and stuff. Now we're still getting through it, you know, staying positive, still going through every day, you know, thankful that we're all here and staying in touch with everybody that has helped us, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we have a lot of emotional support, and everybody, you know, Puyallup Tribe helped us a lot. Always, like, super close now.
Yeah. I mean, there are positives that come out of it, but I want to know, let's just keep it real. I mean, you know, this is something that, I mean, your brother is disabled, and
yeah, it's very hard. It's very.
What do you think? Go ahead.
It's hard to see him struggle through his disability because he's used to dancing, he's used to running the streets. You know, we could catch Bryson. You know,
sure. Still full of life
in a wheelchair, but. You know, but it's hard to see him struggle with that, with the depression and the pain every day that he goes through. I mean, I can see that he's losing all the muscle mass in his legs, you know, and it's hard to see him go through that.
So,
you know, my baby.
That's right. And you want him to dance and be happy and physical. And so, with that, with those disabilities and those things that have happened, what else has happened around your job, around your living arrangements, people in society, in the community where you are? I've heard that there's been some people come at you for some reason. Like, there's been some hostile interactions.
Yeah, well, there has been. Like, when this happened, we couldn't even find a place to live. They didn't even want us in Olympia. They wouldn't rent to us in Olympia because of what happened with Andre and Bryson. They were told, how are you going to pay rent if they go to jail? I was like, wow. And it was just hard trying to find a place. Even just recently, it was kind of hard to find a place. And, you know, to move into what we have right now, it costs so much to move in here, even because of their backgrounds, you know. And it was just crazy, you know, and just a lot of people, you know, some people, they just talk out the side of their neck. They don't know the story and this and that. I've been called names. I've been called the B word. I've been told that my son should have died like that. And they deserve what they got, you know, and even from the police officer's father, made a comment saying, well, we taught your boys something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So let me get this straight. You guys were discriminated against in housing because you were shot?
Because yes. They were shot. Yes. Yeah.
So that's illegal, right? I mean,
yes.
That's illegal. Yes. Okay. That's good to know. That's good to know that is, just for the record, housing does, you know, and if I'm kind of confused about the statement, how can you pay rent if they go to jail? So for the people who don't know the story, you guys were actually charged with something?
Yeah, with assault in the second degree, or Class C felony, basically, me and my little brother. They said that, in trial, that's what the jury came up with, because they didn't want to charge us with anything else, but.
So what did you assault them with when you're running away from the cop?
Right. It was basically, the cop made up a story that we hit him with our skateboards, but we didn't at all.
Where was your skateboard found? Because you're running through a forest, so you didn't have your skateboard with you, right?
No. Well, they didn't find them. They pulled them basically. They pulled them out of the woods, basically, and placed them on the ground.
Because one would think if you're running for your life, you're going to probably drop what you have in your hands and you're going to run for your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Interesting. Okay. And so, okay. So you were charged with a felony? So a skateboard is considered a deadly weapon, or?
That's what they're saying, that the skateboard is a deadly weapon. They used the case up in Seattle when there was something going on in Seattle and someone hit someone with a skateboard. So that's what they used in the criminal trial. And but there was no evidence on the skateboard that it even touched the officer. There was no evidence on the officer that Andre and Bryson even had a confrontation with him or touched him or anything. There was other DNA that was on this officer, but Andre and Bryson's DNA was nowhere to be found on him.
So tell us how your court, your day in court ended. I think you had a verdict this last fall. Could you tell us what happened there?
I can't tell you what happened there because we weren't even in the courtroom to hear the verdict.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what do you mean? You guys presented a case, and then you weren't in court to get the case, to get the verdict?
We weren't even at the, there were, our lawyer just said, we lost, go home, sorry.
That's it. So this is, let me tell you from the beginning. So in the beginning, we went to the federal courthouse in Tacoma. There was a jury selected within maybe an hour. They broke for lunch. We came back. I wasn't allowed in the courtroom, Monique. So the whole 3 weeks, I was sitting in the hallway the whole 3 weeks while this trial went on.
Why did your attorney allow that, do you think?
Sonny Cole told me that she was going to be calling me as a witness. She never did. And we couldn't even have supporters in the courtroom. So by the time closing argument came, it was all over. I wasn't even in the courtroom. And then she calls and says, get down to the courthouse. They got a verdict. And I says, okay, we'll be there. We're only 8 minutes away from this courthouse. We get there and I see Miss Sunny Coe, running from the courthouse, getting into a car. And I call her and I say, what's going on? Are you breaking for lunch or something? She wouldn't answer the phone. Then she finally picks up the phone. Then she finally calls me and she says, Crystal, we lost. Just go home, like that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
And she came to my house a couple hours later and crying with crocodile tears, saying, blaming it on Trump supporters and this and that. The jury didn't even look at any kind of evidence whatsoever. And then she told me that she's going to be working in the prosecutor's office, that she would not be able to appeal this case because she's going to work for the prosecutor's office.
Okay, wait, hold on a minute. I'm trying to keep up with all of this. I mean, I live in California. I'm not familiar with Washington State, but I mean, we still draw from the same basic constitutional rights.
Right.
Last time I checked, I'm really confused on how your defense lawyer doesn't allow you in the courtroom. It was just the lawyer, or was the judge, or was there a reason why you weren't allowed? Was there a specific reason?
I don't know why. Or the only reason why she gave me is because I was going to be a witness. But every other person was in there, every cop's family was in there, even the store clerk that called the police. She was sitting with the police officers, and she was there the whole time.
I mean, I guess, you know, if you throw something down and you don't see the person's intention on where they're throwing it, I could see how maybe someone would possibly get that wrong. Like, oh, he threw it at me. But I'm guessing they had cameras and you can replay and see someone's intention. I mean, what's the price of stealing beer?
Right.
That's the question we need answered, you know?
Right.
Not getting shot. That's for sure.
Yeah, getting shot multiple times is not the answer. That clerk, she should have just wrote up an incident report and called it a day. She didn't have to call the police. And the same as Ryan Donald, the police officer in Olympia, when they told him to stop and not pursue the suspects, he should have stopped. He shouldn't have went on his own like a rogue officer that he is and hunt after two young black men.
So the officer was told by dispatch not to pursue a beer thieving skateboarding kid.
Correct.
That's what. Okay. And so he didn't listen to them and he did it anyway.
He did it.
Obviously. Anyway. Has this officer ever done anything like this before?
He's been in another incident before Andre Bryson's shooting. And then two more incidents afterwards where two people have died in police custody, and he was one of the officers that was involved in that.
What was the outcome for the families of those victims?
There's still no justice for those victims either. It's like sweeping underneath the rug and they forget about it.
Does he have any positive notes on his record that we know of?
Not that I know of.
No.
Okay. Where are we with this case? It sounds like your attorney lost your case and then decided to go work for the side that she was practicing against. So she was a defense lawyer on the day of your trial, and then the next day she became a prosecuting attorney?
Yes.
Correct. Or working in the prosecuting attorney's office. Yes.
I wonder how abnormal or normal that is.
I believe it's a conflict of interest, and she should have never been representing my sons if she had the intention of working for the prosecutor's office. I mean, she had to know that she had this job way before the civil case came through.
That's kind of interesting. I wonder if, so are you guys going to appeal? What's the next step in justice for you, besides working with me on your documentary film? What is the next step to get you your family justice?
We're trying to get more information on what we can go through or how we can go forward with this.
With an attorney and stuff. So we're investigating Ms. Coe and getting more records at the federal courthouse, because since we weren't in the courtroom to hear the verdict and what went down and what was said, the attorney that I spoke to, he said that's not right, that we should have known what was going on. We should have been in that courtroom. And so we're trying to get those records.
I think the Freedom of Information Act should be able to help you obtain those, as well as some of the reporters that were in the court and the court reporting documents you can pull. I think West is a resource, but, you know, I'm sure there's court reporting records that you can pull. So what do you want people to know about your family, Andre? What do you want, since, you know, right now, you know, BLM is in high gear to seek justice for all the many stories. I mean, you know, thank God you guys are here to tell your story, but it's not like you came out unaffected and unscathed.
Right.
What do you want people to really know about your story, and what are you asking the public to do in your case?
Well, I just want people to know that we got to keep fighting because justice, we need justice because people have been going unjust for a while now. And now everybody's fed up with it right now, just as we are. All families have been affected during and from this pandemic too, as well. But I just want change, basically.
Yeah, you know, sure.
And
how cute.
You want to put in anything?
I just think just hearing their story and knowing that, you know, a lot of people know my sons right now. They're like, wow, they're so sweet. And they are the sweetest guys that you can ever meet. Like, they don't have a mean bone in their body, only between them two. But
your whole family is beautiful. Right? Some of the people I've met, yes.
Yeah. So I just want them to know that Andre and Bryson are, you know, they're brothers. They're not stepbrothers. They're blood brothers from the same mother and the same father. And they are very strong individual men. And I'm so grateful to the Creator for giving them a second chance to be here with us. And
yes,
for all those people out there, I just want them to, you know, lift them up and support them in their fight and to move forward with this fight with them and, you know, just to stand in solidarity with us as we move forward in this.
I appreciate you guys sharing your story and your time today. And I want to make a note to the listeners and the viewers that it is not cheap to be in a wheelchair. It does not go without cost. And, you know, a good wheelchair can run you a lot of money, and having physical therapy and psychological mental health therapy, that costs money. And we want to support Bryson and Andre and Bryson in that. And, you know, if you guys find yourself wanting to donate to Andre and Bryson, it costs a lot of money to find safe housing for this family. It sounds like people were discriminating and targeting you, and that shouldn't be the case. We should love our neighbor and uplift each other. I think that's what most people live by these days. And it sounds like, you know, money could help. What's the average cost of a wheelchair for Bryson?
The average cost, his last wheelchair cost about $10,000.
$10,000. Wow.
Yeah, it was a customized wheelchair, which is now it's
toasted.
It's toasted. Let's just put it that way.
How long does that last? Does it last just like maybe a couple months? Or?
5 years. And Bryson's really rough on chairs. So I need tires, like big
right.
tires for him.
So we need a new wheelchair. Yeah.
The average wheelchair probably is like, I would think maybe about $5,000, $6,000. It depends on where you go and what type of wheelchair and how it fits him and all of that.
Right. You have to get it. How much is your rent? Do you mind me asking?
Our rent is $1,450 a month.
And that's not with, you know, utilities and therapy and medication. Is he on any medication for the pain?
He is. He is on medication and stuff. And, yeah, and for utilities and all that, utilities are not included in this and that. Yeah.
I'm sorry to bring all of this up, but it's important that the listeners and the viewers know exactly what the real deal is. And, you know, it's got to be said. I mean, you got to be able to talk about this. And what do you want to say, young lady? You've been sitting there all patient. What do you want the viewers and the listeners to know about your family?
Come on. You wanted to talk, so let's go. Well,
tell us your name again and your age.
I'm Sophia Chapman. My age is 11. And what I want to tell you guys is that my uncles are really nice if you get to know them, but they can be a pain sometimes.
they sound like normal people then. That's great. That's perfect.
Oh my gosh, she's my young activist. Andre has twin daughters that are activists, young activists also. I wish they were here too.
Well, you know what? This isn't going to be the last time we talk, and we're still working on the sizzle reel and the film eventually. You know, we're still raising money for all of this. If you guys want to help this family and you want to give back and you've got a little extra money, you know, your stimulus check, or you just want to invest in some good humans that are trying to get justice and just live their lives. They have no prior anything going on crazy in their background. These are just regular people, and some kids stole some beer. Remember when you turned 21? What the heck did you guys do? I'm sure you did some crazy things back then. Not saying stealing is right, but what is the cost of stealing beer? That's the question that we want to answer for this family. It's definitely not to be chased down in the forest and be shot and almost killed and, you know, and put into a wheelchair. And hopefully, you know, some stem cell researchers out there or people, physical therapists can work on Bryson. I would love for you guys to step forward if you have those means, because I feel like he's so young. Maybe those cells can rejuvenate. There's some good medicine out there. What do you guys think?
That would be awesome. First, the bullet has to be removed from his spine, because that's still in his spine. And
wow.
Doctors had told us that if they try to remove the bullet, he would be a quadriplegic. It is a good possibility he'd be a quadriplegic. So that's why the bullet is still in his spine today.
He also said if he walked with his walker or his crutches, he would be able to walk again. But what did he do? He didn't miss it. He was sad.
Right. I mean, you know, I think it's good to just put it all out on the table. And that sounds like something that I'll definitely leave up to the medical professionals to navigate. But I feel optimistic in science anyway, that there's so many new things that people can do. And so if you are in the medical profession, you're listening to this podcast and you want to help this family, you want to do something really good for humanity, these are the people to step up for. You know, it's too many times that the system has failed people and hurt people. And this family just wants to live and be an active, beautiful part of society. And please donate to their PayPal. You guys have a PayPal. Why don't you tell us what that PayPal is if people want to send you some cash and help Andre and Bryson?
Okay, our PayPal is, hold on a second.
Yes, and while she's pulling that up, you guys, make sure you follow. We have a new Instagram page. It's called Justice, the number 4, Andre Bryson Film. And we also have it on Twitter and Facebook. You can follow me, Monique LoreStinson on Instagram. Also Cap Aquarius Media or The Startup with Monique LaRay on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all of it. Go ahead. You've got that PayPal for folks.
Okay. So our PayPal is paypal.me/OlympiaSurge. That's Olympia, OlympiaSurge, Surge, SURJ. Yeah.
Great. And I will put that in the link on this show. So when I repost it on Facebook, or if I repost it, I'll actually comment with their PayPal link. Or you guys can DM me directly, and I'll get you in touch with their PayPal. I think, Crystal, you're going to post it today, repost our show, and you'll put your PayPal link in there also?
I can do that, yes.
Where can people find you on social media?
They can find me on Facebook under Crystal Renee Chaplin. I'm also on Instagram. I think it's Renee Chaplin 3.
Oh. Yes. All right, good. Andre, where can we find you on social media?
Just Facebook. Andre.
Okay.
Andre Chaplin Thompson.
Beautiful. All right, you guys, I appreciate you, and keep the faith. I'll see you soon. We're going to be shooting some footage up there very soon. I'll be in the area. And be well. Be safe.
Thank you, Monique.
Can't wait to see you. And you guys, just, you know, an exit note, be good to your neighbor, you know, be kind. You say that, you know, you love your neighbor. This is a really good time in the world to do that, time in history to love thy neighbor. And what will you start up today? We'll be back next week from location, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Have a good Sunday.
All right. We love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Okay, let's stop the video.
Nana, it says leave right there.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.